Thank you, Don. Welcome to everybody who's here. Hi, Kate. Hi, Shauna, over at the Retreat House. Hey, Connie. Everybody else here, Don, Kathy Smith, Meg, and George in the trailer. So thanks all for showing up. Found out, this is a personal note, not aside, related to the movie group, but I found out that I actually cannot host trailers on my property. They can only be here 14 days. And they can't be hooked up. But the inspector let us off the hook. So we're all good. And George is now in San Francisco all of a sudden. So welcome, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed the movie Click and have seen it. I had some folks over here at my house this month to all gather to see and sort of contemplate the movie Click. I had about six or seven people in my living room. Actually, right now, right next door is Toni Field. She just arrived. She's going to be assisting at the second week of the fall retreat. So Grand Central Station here at the McCormick household in support of the retreat center. So on that note, again, welcome everybody. And, hopefully we're all prepared to share something about the movie Click and your insights, I hope. Or anything else that it kind of brought up for you. It's a funny movie, it's a comedy, and there's kind of a powerful message to it, really, in my opinion. And I did attempt to make you liked it more and it was a little more generic, but I still think I'm probably learning a little bit about how to make the best play sheet. I'm open to any suggestions you all have. So let's start in. And this was Adam Sandler. This was back in 2006. This was 13 years ago, almost 14 years ago. If you want to come in the house, George, you could come into the living room there. Your connection will radically improve. If you want to come on up, you're welcome to, George, because he's really far away from the router. And so Bed Bath & Beyond, I'm sure, probably, you know, co-marketed this movie, right? Because it was so all about the Beyond, right, from Bed Bath & Beyond, the door. It says way beyond that you go through and you meet a creepy store employee that gives you a wonderful remote control. Name is Morty, Christopher Walken. You want a remote control? Yeah, I give you one. Okay, so Morty, obviously, the Latin root of mortgage is the same as the Latin root of Morty, which means death. M-O-R-T, Latin root meaning death. You know who I am. Come on. He's the death. He's the angel of death, right? With that grin on his face, right? So, you know, when we want the easy way out, we want to skip past the boring things, we go on autopilot, in the brain sense, right? In the sense of just doing our habitual routine, we miss out on life. We become unconscious. We miss the moment. Our mind is caught in the past or future. And so we don't make the best choices. We make choices that seem to only serve a very short-term interest, which hurt all those around us, right? Every time we make a self-centered choice, it's going to bring some sort of suffering, usually to ourselves in the long term and to those around us as well. Because when we make choices that we think we're not being stimulated or we're not getting anything out of a situation, the ego doesn't want you to be involved in it. But that's a lie, because every single moment there's so much to be gained and to be experienced in the moment of now, which is really, as we often talk about, really the only moment there is. We're just not realizing that. So You know, the first question I put on the play sheet, what were the, some of the scenes that you found moving or spoke to you in some way? You know, a lot of, there was a lot of funny scenes in the movie. But one of the ones that spoke to me the most was right when it was kind of the initial time when the character played by Adam Sandler was beginning to, you know, that first scene in Bed Bath & Beyond when he was laying face down on the bed, one of the display beds, and he saw the room and he went back there and he was seeking something to, you know, make his life better, right? He was seeking a mechanism, a means to make his life better because he was unhappy. And, you know, his boss was treating him unfairly, kind of manipulating him, giving him the runaround. And he was looking for a way to move things forward a little quicker because he got impatient. And, you know, of course, all of that is based on him thinking that when he has this partnership, his life is going to be better and he's going to be able to better provide for his family. That's the lie that he believed. And so going down the track, you're just going deeper down the track if you think that continuing to follow the same track is going to lead to a different result, or there's some way you can get out of the track you're on, the habitual track, the outward-focused track. Now, the people gathered here aren't particularly super focused on career. I mean, maybe some people are. I'm currently kind of focused on career, but I'm in no risk of developing a big belly, I don't think. And I'm certainly not seeking a fast-forward remote control. But what spoke to me is when he went to go visit Morty and he was in the mindset of wanting this, right? He wanted some, he was seeking some way to not have to go through it because he was impatient, right? I guess you could say good things come to those who wait. But it's based on the lie that this condition or circumstance is what will bring you the happiness. You know, and Meg's whole teaching this morning was all about imagining happiness, and you can have that with anything you're doing. And I think I am going to experiment with that regarding folding laundry, because as you heard me comment earlier today, folding laundry was not the favorite thing I like to do, right? Somehow I don't think I'm alone in that, but Connie's laughing. Whatever other the activity is, okay, that, I think you can do some fun games with that and experimentation. Does anyone else want to share any thoughts about any particular scenes or anything that sort of spoke to them? I would love to hear some other thoughts too. Shauna, go ahead. Please talk for as long as you want.
I could get it unmuted. There we go. Okay. One of the scenes that really spoke to me was when, was it his wife or his girlfriend? Kate Beckinsale, she's so gorgeous. Anyway.
Yeah, wow. Wife.
They got talking about their first date, and she asked him what the song was of their first date, and he clicks it and goes back and, you know, finds out what the song was. And he's, yes, this is it. And she was all, oh my God, you remembered. And I totally was there. I totally remember a guy doing that and thinking, oh, he cares more than anybody ever has. Oh my God, he just made me this most beautiful, gorgeous woman in the whole wide world. And I'm thinking, wow, that was when I was so identified with, even more so, about what other people think, you know, or what other people remember about a particular situation, and that in fact affected my worthiness. And I just thought, wow, plus he's totally missing out on the opportunity to be completely honest with her. Sweetheart, I don't remember, and I love you for being you. That was just That was really, really resonated with me. He's just missing out on being honest in life and being present in the moment with her. Missing out on her, who she is right now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. The memories and the value we place on it, you know, when we think someone's going to remember something, or, you know, just between friends or any relationship, you know, when you forget something, as a person interprets that as, you know, a dig, a diss, you know, like, you know, when me as a guy doesn't remember, you know, a holiday or an anniversary or something like that, you know, it's, George talks about it a little differently. I don't think him and his wife really do a lot of anniversaries or like whatever, but, you know, I hear what you're saying, John. I mean, most relationships, you know, remembering things indicates that, you know, you care because you remembered. And I suppose that is arbitrary, isn't it? You know, all of it's arbitrary. It's made up. We say you got to do this thing, and that means that you love me, etc. And if you don't do it, then that must mean that you don't. And I'm going to then get revenge upon you for that. You know, that's what the mind does, right? When really the thing that the person's mind came up with to set that means that you'll remember me is actually just a staving off of the belief that you're bad. Because if then the person doesn't remember him, then surely that proves that you're a worthless piece of crud. And, you know, therefore I'm not going to look at my own false belief about my worthlessness. I'm going to project it onto you and make you the bad guy or girl, and make that the reason why I can then distract myself further with more emotion. But then, you know what? It doesn't really heal anything, does it? Distracting yourself with blame doesn't ever heal anything. You know, when I was thinking about reaching out and wanting this mechanism to, you know, not have to deal with life, you know, I could think of, like, you know, addictions. How do we go unconscious? Our remote control is food or chocolate or drugs or sex or excessive TV viewing or whatever it is. Those are the remote controls you're grabbing to try to forward through, not to not have to deal with what's going on. Now that hat that George is wearing, that little black plastic thing, is where you can put a light in. George's wife told me that today. So he can be like this guy. We need to have George here in the sanctuary with his light on his forehead. That would be fun. I think, I don't know if you have the light still, George, but so are you getting good reception there in the kitchen, George? It looks like you are.
Yeah. I think I am. So I've missed the last few minutes here as I walked around the house and
I can't see. Is Tony there walking around a little bit too, or no?
Well, she's in the kitchen. She's in the kitchen.
Got it.
So,
do you have anything to share with, you were here with us, George, on Click, the movie Click.
You want to say anything to, the folks.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. I'm enjoying a cup of coffee. Izzy, help me out.
Great. Enjoy.
Thank you.
So, you know, I didn't print off your play sheet. So, you know, I saw the movie, but, you know, I forget 90% of everything I see the next day. So, but
you know, Sean was just talking about that very point. not about you specifically, George, but it was
right. You know, yeah.
Do you remember he went into Bed Bath and Beyond, and it was that Christopher Walken that gave him the remote control and
right
ported through his life. But I'll get you off the spot, George. I'll we'll shift.
No, that's I did have a comment there. You know, that was a temptation. That was a temptation. And, you know, like a lot of people, he had a high pressure job. had a beautiful family, but you know, it was hard to make those decisions between work and family and providing for your family. So that was a real temptation to have a shortcut, you know, to have the magic clicker thing. And of course, he didn't realize until after the fact what the true ramifications of that were. You know, it was only after he started using it and having that experience of you know, what he didn't know to begin with was the clicker would remember when he fast forwarded through, and it would automatically fast forward through those segments that he had previously fast forward. And so he didn't get to enjoy those moments again because it was sort of like on auto default. So that was my initial comment there, and I'll see if I can catch up with the rest of you here as we're listening to your other point.
Yeah, that's a good point you raised, George, about the remote control learning, what you fast forwarded through, and it on its own started doing that. It remembered. And then he became panicked because if he starts talking about a certain subject, like making love to his wife, unfortunately that portion got fast forwarded through as well. And he's like, no. And then all these other things that were getting fast forwarded through, like you're saying, automatically. So when we reach for the chocolate, when we reach for a distraction to make life just go by, to kill time, anything we do that to kill time is our remote control. That's our clicker to go on unconscious. And the thing is, is your limitations, the false beliefs, the mind itself, our addiction to thought doesn't go away when we get the distraction and click through it. It actually grows. Like, he got more overweight, morbidly obese. I mean, he had that fat suit, he could hardly turn his head, you know, like it was. It gets worse, right? Not better, when we grab that chocolate bar remote, which kind of has the shape of a remote, really, you know, or any other addicting, distracting mechanism that the angel of death can give you. Because, you know, the body dies, it has a limited shelf life, and we only have so many moments in our life, and this moment, you know, it's life is but a dream, as Shauna was playing. And I did notice the beavers in that video, Shauna, just to let you know. And I know that's an inside joke, but there are beavers here physically in your La Vida. it's good to contemplate what are ways in which you fast forward. You know, everything we're talking about regarding playing games with awareness, and Regina's suggestions are, when you just got a few minutes to kill, why play Candy Crush on your phone? That's the remote control that you're looking to fast forward to, the things you find boring, that you don't think are interesting, that you've done 100 times, that don't stimulate you. Because if you keep your attention on the outward action of it, then you've already done it 100 times. There's no more new stimulation to it because you're operating off of memory alone. But when you stay into the present moment and you operate here and now, you know, it's what in Christian terminology is called, you know, the living truth. It's here now. It's new now because you're not operating off of memory. You're kind of adopting the inner Mr. or Mrs. Magoo and letting yourself forget it and being fresh in the moment. So how do I, you know, click on that fast forward? What do I do? And one of the things lately that I've been doing is noticing when my mind wants to go on the fast forward, when I want to reach for the clicker. Now, I did buy a big TV to put it in the living room. And yes, sometimes I have actually turned on YouTube or watched some series. So physically, I have grabbed the clicker. But And other times, I will just sit on the couch like this and go, wow, I don't want to be here right now. I want to fast forward through this. What will happen if I just sit here and just be with it and do nothing? It's like another practice I had called the do nothing practice. And the very interesting thing happens is the mind will go, and it'll go back down. And then it's okay to not do anything. And then I don't need to fast forward through anything. And I can just sit there and do nothing. And I challenge you guys to try that sometime. It's kind of interesting to just watch yourself. You know the times I'm talking about. Times when you feel you want to just do something to make the time go by. Challenge yourself to just not do it. Just as an experiment. What happens if I go against that and I don't just do the thing that I'm thinking I'm going to do to pass the time? And instead I just, what's going to happen? Am I going to explode? You know, what's going to happen here? And I noticed it's just funny. The mind, like, wait, you're not cooperating. What are you doing? Like, and then it just sort of gives up and it just goes away and peace comes back. When you don't follow the plan of the ego, when you instead choose to just be present. Because I think that was a haunting reminder in the movie about what George brought up regarding the mind remembers what you fast forward through. It remembers it. And it's going to want to fast forward you through those same things. So now I'm starting to see those times of folding the laundry or whatever, those just times or tasks where the mind doesn't have outward stimulation. And so therefore it tells you you're bored and it needs more outward stimulation. So how do we retrain our minds? And I like the idea of playing games because that makes it interesting to the mind, right? That gives the mind something to, you know, it throws a bone to the mind. And retraining our minds so that we don't just want to distract ourselves when we don't have the outward stimulation. We literally wean ourselves off the process of feeling like we need to distract ourselves and have constant outer stimulation, you know, to be abiding in presence. You know, last night we had a great experience of dancing and having a lot of fun in the retreat center with Jackie Griggs singing her mix of Motown and 70s and 80s music and, you know, us just grooving to all that. It was a lot of fun. You know, that was like, you know, very stimulating to the mind, right? But she was laughing too because we all go to bed so early here. And then, you know, we're boring here in La Vida because we go to bed at 8:30 and get up at 4. But, you know, a lot of us do, you know, practices in the morning. And, you know, I have to get up by 6 at the very latest, usually 5:30, take a shower, breakfast, meditate. You know, if I'm going to do that before my 8 o'clock workday begins, you know, there's a lot to do before that time. Now, George has us all beat. He gets up at like 3 or 4 and has got more done by 6 a.m. than we do all day. So he's a machine, George. He's the man. hey, Shauna, go for it.
I just wanted to say the experiences with the dyads is something about staying there, even though everything within you is screaming to leave. I don't think there's anyone there that at some point just wanted to get up and scream out of there. And the other thing is I saw emotions that I didn't even realize were there because I've been clicking forward through them because I'd get upset about something. I'd feel a little bit of a feeling and I'd go walk, go have chocolate, go watch baseball for 3 hours. I pinpointed some of that stuff that I've been fast forwarding through. It was great. And I love your challenge. I'm going to do that.
I'm really excited to hear you say that, Shauna, that you're stopping and realizing these things you're fast-forwarding through. That is an excellent living of the movie because for me, it's these little challenge moments. I like, oh, yeah, the mind's telling me to fast-forward. Well, what if I don't? It's like I don't like people telling me what to do. Are you kind of people that don't like people telling you what to do and bossing you around? Because I'm not. I have my own company. You know, Connie's over there. She's got her own company. She probably doesn't like to be bossed around. I mean, you know, we're just that way. That's just the way we don't want to be bossed around. We're independent people. So I'm like, huh, this mind's telling me what to do. Well, I don't want to be bossed around. I'm not going to be told that I got to – no. I don't want to do that. I want to try – I want to do what is best for God, for best for awakening. Why do I want to do that? So I'm focusing a lot on shifting my desire to wanting to do that, because that's the key, right? What we want to do. If Adam Sandler's character – Michael Newman didn't want to, you know, and you can look at the symbolism in the last name, New Man, right? You know, Michael, of course, is Archangel Michael, who was sent by God in the myths to fight Satan, who rebelled with a third of the angels against heaven, sent to the earth, followers of the dragon, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, sorry if I lost y'all. That was a ancient Christian myth about heaven and all that. But it's, you know, like a righteous, in other words, God's representative symbolically, right? So like the part of us that wants to be in the moment, the part of us that wants to be righteous and be righteousness isn't about focusing outward. It's about being inward. And like we've been talking about lately, seeing everything as in me. You know, when I see George and Chana and Connie and Dawn as being within me, I can't get defensive or attack any of them because they're me. They're within me. And they can't do anything that would upset me either. Don't try, please. But, you know, it's, oh, yeah, let's try this. No. They're within me. So there's not a difference. There's no possibility of upset. So when I walk around and I have that, you know, I am a new man, you know, man being male or female. I say it's not gender specific. It just the point being you have a new, ever new framework that you're operating from. I've noticed that a lot of new choices open up to me when I'm present that I didn't think of before, just like what Shauna was saying. She is very present with the dyads. You're talking, you have to look. And it's a great way to look at things that you're unconscious of that you don't see. You can achieve a lot of the same effects by just practicing little moments of awareness and just being very astute as to what's going on in your mind and your own emotional state and being willing to admit things that don't make you look good to your own self. Like, wow. Like in my case, I was looking really smart to be arrogant or insult someone to act smart, because if I'm not smart, then that means I'm a worthless piece of crud. So when that urge for me to want to say something comes up, am I listening to spirit and saying that? Or am I saying this because I want to look smart because I've read a lot of books and I want to sound intelligent? Like, why am I saying it, right? What's my motivation? So I'm a little more careful, not always, but about why I do that and what that urge, you know, it could be a reaction, an urge to want to do something, to express something, to say something. You know, there's, I think how we fast forward through life is by talking, you know. You know, if we tend to talk a lot, or what do we have to say? Is it really, Ramana Maharshi, you know, encourages a lot of silence. You know, I know we talk a lot here in the sanctuary as part of our teaching, which is purposeful. You know, it's the opposite of fast forwarding. That's why when we present here in the sanctuary and other people are looking at us, it feels like time is dragging on, right? Because that sense of time slows way down. You know, or when you're in the middle of the dyads, it just feels like, ah, gosh, you know, this is dragging on. But if you surrender to it, it can actually lead to deeper insights, and it isn't a struggle. Towards the latter part of the last dyads I did down in New Mexico, I really surrendered, and this amazing wisdom kind of started to come out. It was really cool. You know, so the unconscious and all of this sort of fast boarding thrives in being unseen.
Yes.
It's what it's all about. You, because when you shine the light on it, because you know what happens to a little gremlin when you shine a light on it? It screams and it disappears in a puff of smoke. Gremlins only exist in the little dark corners, causing problems because there's no light shined on them. As soon as you look, like what the bleep, the fact that you're looking at something changes it. When it becomes like awareness, waking up to itself, right? There's no more darkness. It's not, it only thrives in being unseen. So that clicker, which is really our thoughts, our mind is the ultimate clicker that we have to let go of to free ourselves from Morty, Christopher Walken's character, for free ourselves from death is, don't feed them after midnight. The free ourselves from death is to stop using the mind that's not directed by spirit. Stop using the mind to further ego, to further the personal self. Because it's very complicated. The mind loves complicated series of intricate reasons why and all these sort of agendas and things you think you got to have. You know, I've been experimenting also with asking spirit questions about my business decisions, training employees, what should I do next, spirit? And I was given direction. I was given an answer to a very mundane work thing as to what to do. And I did it. And this really cool result happened. I'm like, whoa, that all these details were taken care of in a very efficient way that would have been a lot more stressful for me to have to take care of had I not asked spirit. So I'm really realizing that it's extremely practical too. And what it's doing is training me to operate that way more in the moment and trust that I can exist without mind.
Yeah.
And that I'm not going to die, which is what the ego, of course, tells you. Oh, don't do that. You're going to die. Well, no, actually, the ego is going to die. There's something going to die, but it's not you. You are permanent, eternal, everlasting. You're not going to die. George, please take the mic. And yeah, Shauna, you were unmuted for a minute. Only I can hear you, George, from the other room. You're actually still muted.
Ooh, okay. How's that? Okay, you should be able to hear me now. The clicker, you know, if you think about it, it had three functions. It had a pause, okay, which is present time. It had a fast forward, which are really, as we project our thoughts into the future, we're fast forwarding into the future and we're missing the present. And it also had a wind back feature that you could, you know, which is like, as we're thinking about the past, about our stories. And that was one of Regina's exercises this week. We spent time looking at our stories, you know, because our stories really take us into the past. And, you know, so when we share our own stories or we ask someone else to share their stories, then we're really not in the present. So I wanted to make that point. I don't know if anybody made that before I was able to get back online. So
let me use my clicker to rewind to see if anyone did.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're a good student. By the way, George is an excellent storyteller, and you are. And it's kind of interesting because the moment, like if you had a parent or a guardian or someone that took care of you or an older sibling that told you a story, it definitely brought you into the present, even though you're fantasizing. It kind of took you out of the mind a little bit in the sense of make you forget about everything else and just focus on listening to the other person. That can be a kind of present moment practice. You know, because what was it that we talked about? The clock is ticking, but it's ticking in the present moment. time is going by, but it's always present. there's never, there is no real past or future. You know, when George mentioned the different functions of the remote, and I've mentioned all the different ways in which we click forward to not want to be in the present with addictions and distractions that we engage in to make the boring times of our life go by that we think aren't worthy, stimulating enough for us to capture our attention. So therefore, we have to forward wind through them. The reverse feature was just a look back. You couldn't actually change the past. And honestly, the forward wind couldn't be redone either. Because see, once you hit forward wind, you were screwed because you couldn't go back and undo that. It was a one-time thing. That's why Morty had that grin on his face because he knew it was screwing the guy over and speeding him towards death. So we can't undo and redo or redo any moment of our life. We can only work with now until the end. That's it. And every moment of every day, we've got that much less life. You know, you're in your 30s. You think you still got a lot of time. Well, then the 40s hit, and then you turn 50. And then you're 60, and then you're 70. Now, if you're my grandma, she lived to be 103. So when she was in her 70s, she had a heck of a lot of time. You know, born in 1898 and died in 2001. She saw three different centuries and lived through completely one. So for her, maybe she did have a lot of time even in her 70s, but most people don't have that much time, right? So, you know, carpe diem, live in the now. How can I make choices with spirit if I'm not present? Is it possible? Can anyone tell me here while you're in habitual mode how you can make a choice with spirit? Is that possible, yes or no? I don't think it is. Dawn is raising her finger.
Is it possible to make a choice with Holy Spirit?
When you're in the midst exactly of the fast forwarding, whether it's eating chocolate, watching TV, when you are unconscious, how is it possible?
Grace. It happened to me just the other day.
Tell me about it. I want to hear that.
So it's like anytime you're in the middle of something, you're like, oh, so this is how I make myself miserable. Do I really want to do this? And then you have a choice point, and it is grace. It's grace that first helped you even see that in the first place. I think we make ourselves prone to grace through these practices and how much we want awakening. Like, oh, we can taste it. It's so close. And part of us, I mean, obviously our true self is already whole, perfect, and awakened. So really there's nowhere to go to or nothing to do. But in the moment when you see yourself entrenched, like, oh, do I really want to do this to myself? I know the consequences. And then there's just this moment where you can literally do a U-turn or just put that thing down or not engage in that activity or whatever it is. So I would say yes, and it's grace.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, kind of like that's how you do it in your life. In my life is this little challenge. I don't want to be told what to do. Maybe I'm not going to pick up. I'm going to just sit here and sit with my boring state.
You can make yourself more prone to grace by, you know, there's something really powerful about, you know, not wanting to be in control. And no, it sounds so backwards. There's something so powerful about not wanting to be in control. You know, it's like the teaching Regina just, it was about a couple weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, where she talks about the Tao and how, you know, like with a lot of the New Age people, they try to master the mind or master the Tao or think they're going to control the Tao. But in her teaching, she was saying how you let the Tao master you. So ultimately, something's going to master you. So you might as well just let it happen.
That's so true. The surrender is really all we do, is the giving up. And the seeking of the outer distractions is the activity of the mind not surrendered. And being grace prone, as Don is talking about, is, yeah, I agree. When you have the desire, it will just pop in at random times when you need it. It'll come to help you like a friend, right? The, a little agent operating seemingly outside of you. And I'm sure we've all had these moments where we've, I don't know if we all have, but I've had a number of moments where I've been operating without mind. I was walking in a convenience store. This was actually before I moved to La Vida. And all of a sudden, I was just operating. My body was moving, and it was probably about a 20-second period. And I went, oh, shit. I'm sorry for the S word there, Don, but I realized just for that last, I was literally operating with no mind, and my body was doing things. It was like when I had that out-of-body experience and I went to the other side of the room. This was during, I was trying to deliberately cultivate the ability to astral project. And I did it. I went to the other side of the room and I looked back and saw Jay's little body there in the chair. But I'm not in it. I'm over here like a ghost looking back at it. And I had this immediate feeling of vulnerability and needing to protect it. And I wanted armed guards standing by it. And you know, I'm not in that thing. That's me. And, you know, what Don is saying is easing down around that. And because it's such an important point to know that we're not really doing it anyway. That's so humbling to realize we're being lived through anyway. That's the reality of it. We're actually not doing it. It's the illusion that we think we're doing it, that we're waking up is the laying down of the illusion that I think I'm doing this thing, which I'm not. And that's really what I equate to the movie. Hold on 1 second now. I'll turn it right over to you in a minute here. That setting down the remote control is setting down the mind and letting a spirit, the mystery of spirit move through me and the unknown, being friends with the unknown through grace. So yeah, back to you, Dawn.
I just got the overarching message just now because of this conversation that just evolved. Plus what we learned today and something genuine with a TED talk that was talking about the saboteurs, these little mechanisms of mind, the controller, and also the hypervigilance. So those are two ways that we sabotage ourselves. So listen to what it is, a remote control. So it was the control, him wanting to control. Obviously, he wanted to control. He was literally making it be what he wanted it to be. Of course, it backfired on him. But this is the running theme. This is the running theme with the whole idea of separation, the whole letting the ego, because you could think of Michael Newman as the ego trying to run the show with his control. And the second we try to control it is the second we flub it all up. And we are that much closer to death because, like what it was saying in the something genuine, is that's how we move away from our true self. That's how we forget our true self, is these, well, he calls them 9 different ways we sabotage ourselves, the saboteurs. And if we're going to control, that ends up covering up our true self. In the Course in Miracles, it talks about how love doesn't do that. Love waits on welcome, and it doesn't force you to make a choice it doesn't impose itself upon you. It waits for you to choose it. So by the whole control thing, I think that's the overarching message that he could be offering us in this movie, Click, is because, okay, I'll let go. Go for it.
I wanted to say before George cuts in, it's like a cat. It's a lot like a cat. A cat, you have to be in just the right space and the cat will come around you. You have to be still and the cat will come around you. I've just noticed that with cats, and I compared it to what Don described as love or God. Like the cat will never do what you, it will never try to impose itself on you. I mean, some people's cats do, but my experience with cats is they're pretty they come around when they want to. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I really like Don, your thought about that releasing control can be very satisfying. And in order to do that, in order to release control to another person or anything else, first of all, you're surrendering. And second of all, you've got to really trust that that person or that entity has your best interest in heart and is most capable of fulfilling keeping you safe. So, you know, that's a great point there. You know, Adam Sandler had basically yielded control by accepting this magic gift, this clicker, and he quickly found that he was trusting in the wrong thing. And he didn't know this was the angel of death until the very end. You know, he just thought this was like a mad scientist kind of a guy that had developed this fantastic device that was going to make his life better. But he was also in the process of growing by his observation of what using the clicker meant for him, unintended consequences, and he just he was regretting ever having received this, and you know he tried to give it back, and you know the mad scientist guy says, "No, as I told you, you can't give it back. You can't throw it away. You can't destroy it. You try, and it's just going to pop back up." So, you know, I mean, I think that's the way life is for most of us is, you know, we try to our best to make things happen and to make things easy for ourselves. And yet we ultimately all screw up. And and for the lucky few that really kind of get their act together and really feel like, they're willing to surrender to something that they believe has greater wisdom than they do. And so anyway, I thought that was an interesting point there. It's surrendering to anything means that you have a level of trust in it. So I'll stop there.
Thank you, George, about that point. Yeah, and yeah, of course, asking ourselves the question, do I have trust in the mind, which is the covering over of the truth, as Don stated, or do I have trust in the truth itself? And what I just realized when you said that, George, was the part about you can't go back. It's like eating of the fruit of the tree of the garden of good and evil, which is duality. Before there was duality, there was only the awareness of oneness. There was no thought that there's something else. When we made the choice to do that, entered into this and forgot about it, forgot to laugh, as the Course says, we can't just undo it. We have to play through this whole thing. We can't just give it back on a whim. We have to now play through the whole process of life. And it's like and have trust and learn to have trust in that moment, in that mystery, and know that that will keep us safe, as you're saying. And put down that attempt to remotely control, which is the covering up of the truth. Instead, just, because I had a lot of fear when I had those moments of, you know, I snapped out of it, that moment of living in no mind. It was accidental. It was like something given to me from spirit. Like, I didn't mean to set out to just walk around the convenience store with no mind. It just happened. But there was a feeling of vulnerability, that same feeling of vulnerability when I astral projected and saw my body and I wasn't in it. it's like I got to go from the feeling of threat and vulnerability, which is an ego-driven thought, to being completely safe. I mean, you're trusting the mind is, what is the number one fear of the mind? The unknown. And that's all spirit is to the mind, is unknown, is complete surrender, is complete trust, knowing that you're safe, having faith. And fast forwarding is the opposite of having faith. You're trying to put trust in death, which it will never satisfy you, right? Because it's just the end. It's staying, trying to find a solution in the wrong level. You know, so I also, on these play sheets, I'm inviting people to practice in their life something, at least one thing. For me, it was deliberately sitting on the couch to not fast forward into something and seeing what would happen. And I experimented with that, and I noticed that my mind just got kind of aggressive. Like, you're not cooperating. You're not doing what I want you to do. Like the revolver, I say you do, but I'm like, you know, what if I don't? What are you going to do about it? and then it just went down. And I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I honestly believe that when I do that, I alter time. I alter my destiny. There's something I do that affects, I awaken when I do that. When I make the choice to do that, there's something incredibly powerful that's happening in that moment. And like Dawn is talking about and others, you're going to have your own little ways of doing this, but it's going against the plan of mind. I think the games we're all talking about are engaging in this process, the same process of, maybe these aren't the right words to say, altering. We don't, our only destiny is here. There's no place to go. It's a journey without distance. That's the destiny, is to let go of destiny. But there's something happening that's altering something when I go against the plan of the ego. When I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just sit here instead and just watch my mind or ride through it. You know, like if you're getting a shot and you're a kid, and you get afraid when the needle goes in and you feel the sting and you have this fear and your parents are beside, just stay with it, honey. It's okay. Okay, kiddo, you'll be all right. Just stay with it. Stay with it. It's going to be okay. And then the sting is gone and you feel better and you're fine. Like, that's what it's like getting a shot or something temporarily painful. That's just like the gremlin puffing up in smoke and disappearing because the light shines on it. Did anyone find character symbol? Oh, go ahead. I was going to switch to something else. Go ahead, Don.
It was in reference to what you said, how are you practicing in your life? And one of the inquiries that comes up for me, especially around the topic boredom, because I find that you'd want to fast forward through all the bored parts, right? Like if you're having a sense or a felt sensation of boredom. Well, I feel like the label itself is helpful. Like if one were to question, like, okay, you're feeling this sensation, but notice the second you've labeled it boredom, how that feels. Now play with the question, like, what would this sensation feel like without that label boredom? I think what happens is our nervous systems have gotten used to a certain amount of adrenaline and or cortisol or in tightness that our bodies are trying to help us out by just relaxing. And what's so amazing is part of the journey here, especially when we're meditating, is to get to that point of relaxation. Well, spontaneously, the body comes to a point of relaxation and then we want to label it boredom. What if that's wrong? What if somehow we've mislabeled this sensation? What if it's just peace, except that we're just mislabeling it? Like, for instance, and the reason I say this is a possibility and a helpful inquiry to play with is because a long time ago, probably right around the time when I first started doing this job, I used to, as I was opening up my heart, I would get a painful sensation every time I would try to open my heart. And what I discovered was that painful sensation was a good thing. What it was is the purification, but also when I was feeling compassion, which is a flavor of love, that's how it was showing up for me at that particular point in time. It has softened now. It's much lighter. I still feel that grip, especially when I hear about children getting abused or forests being burned down or different things triggering me in that. And I'll feel that really strong sensation that really feels painful. But what it is compassion. Now, that word was not used at all in my home growing up, so I didn't even know what that word meant. I just thought it was kind of like what you were talking about, Jay, just this, it felt like a vulnerable ache. But that whole time, my whole life, never even really knowing what compassion was, because that word was never used in our household, but also feeling this feeling that felt very vulnerable. But once I realized what it was, and stopped labeling it as if it was a bad thing and seeing it for what it truly was. And even sadness, like sometimes sadness will come, and the way it comes, it's actually a different flavor of love. Now that may not make any sense to anyone, but when you feel a certain flavor of sadness, but if I don't label it sadness and I just feel the sensation and maybe what sparked that feeling, it's compassion, it's love, it's just love. It's just I somehow, through maybe society, hearing someone else, seeing them in that state, and then they said, oh, I'm feeling sad. So then I was like, oh, that's what sadness is. So what I'm saying by that is possibly, hold on one second, possibly the boredom has just been mislabeled. And if we can just sit with it and explore the edges of these felt sensations and then play the game, include, because there is a game in awareness games where you feel a certain feeling and you don't want to deny the feeling or push the feeling down, even boredom, but include it. Like, okay, what's the spaciousness around this boredom? What's that over there? You know, and so boredom is, if you want to label it that, it can still remain there, but you just include, and then see what happens as a inquiry or a game or exploration.
Yeah, you're bringing up an important point about what the mind does with an experience is it attempts to label it. And the very first thing that the mind does when any experience occurs is attempt to put words and labels to it rather than have the experience itself. So Don's bringing up an important point about the thought and judgment, which is a judgment. The thought is a judgment that keeps you away from the present experience of whatever it is that's happening into the mind, which is a label of the experience. And if you let go of the label, as Don's talking about, you then have the actual experience of it. These word games and wordplay, however you do it, whether you notice the word or you just simply go into the experience or you have your own little way of doing it, you wind up penetrating through the mind. That's what I do in my little way of sitting there when I have a feeling of boredom come up. Yes, it's the word boredom, it's the concepts, but by me just simply sitting with it, it's a direct way of just pushing right through it and accomplishing the same thing. I don't do it exactly like how Don's describing, but I get to the same place. And each person is going to have their little flavor of how they push through the mind and let it go. And there is going to be, there oftentimes is a temporary feeling of discomfort. It could be very brief. It could be long and intense. But if there's what I'm finding is if there's a lot of surrender and willingness, it's actually not painful at all. The amount of discomfort I feel, at least in my own observations, is directly proportional to that moment. However much willingness I have, if I'm really willing, I don't identify as any sort of discomfort at all. But if I'm not totally willing and I'm getting there, I'll feel a little bit of discomfort. So it kind of works in a variety of ways for me. But I will let go of the mic now. We are at 7 o'clock. Thank you all for participating with the Movie Click. Next month is Ron. He will be introducing a new movie and will host the event on November 24th. Invite you all back. Good night, everybody.
Well, Craig's not in the room, so I'll probably just be playing a recording anyways. I just want to say something really quick. It just suddenly came to me. What if when we say, because when we feel this sensation, we say, I am bored. Okay, that's a lie, because you're not boredom. You're so much vaster than anything you can possibly imagine. The second we say, I'm bored, the body reacts to that lie because it is a lie. And then you're trying to run away from that feeling or get away, however you normally get away from that feeling. And so what if that's all it is we're trying to run away from this lie we just told about ourselves. Okay. Anyway, so George, did you want to say something really quick?
There was one other point I wanted to make about the movie. And I think Jay was going to bring that question up. The movie reminded me of A Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah. The Ghost of Christmas Past, The Ghost of Christmas Present, and The Ghost of Christmas Future. And then he woke up in his bed in present time and realized through his observation of those three scenarios, that was a motivation for him to change his entire life, because he realized something very profound. And in this movie, Click, Adam Sandler had the same experience. He was able to see the past, the present, yeah, and the future.
That's a good
and
movie.
And the angel of death, which he found out was the angel of death in the very end, I also thought that is also the angel of life. Because if you spend your time in the present, you are in the angel of light, not the angel of death. That's all.
Wow, George, that was awesome. What a great note to leave that on.